With us tonight to Luke chapter number 15, familiar passage of scripture, but I want to give you what's on our heart tonight and try to be a blessing to you, and we'll be done in just a little bit, but we're thankful that you're here tonight and thankful for the Word of God and the opportunity to gather around it with like-minded believers, and you know, the day and hour in which we live, that's an important thing, amen. And thank God that this place is tried and it's true and it has a testimony. And there are some people that have paved the way and paid the price so that you and I could come and sit here and hear the Word of God tonight. Amen. We thank God for our church, love our pastor, and just appreciate what the Lord is doing. Again, I want to say that again in our church, and count it a real blessing to be a part of this church. And to know you all tonight, amen, and be able to worship with you. I want you to go with me there to verse number 11, and that's the verse we'll take, and that's the verse we'll read tonight. Luke chapter number 15, and verse number 11, the Bible said, "And he said," Jesus said, "a certain man had two sons." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings upon our life, God. Lord, too many to count. But Lord, we have nothing to boast of within ourselves, Lord. There's nothing that we can glory in concerning ourselves save the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that we can rejoice in you. Lord, everything that we have, everything that we possess, everything that we ever hope to be, Lord, in this life and the next, is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to honor you. We want to thank you. We want to glorify you tonight, Lord, and say that you have been given a name that's above every name. And Lord, at the name of Jesus, one of these days, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But Lord, I'm glad we can do that now. And Lord, that we can confess, and Lord, we can say you are Lord. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight, Lord, they've never been saved, they have no idea what we're talking about. When we use that terminology, I pray that the Holy Ghost would take the Word of God tonight, Lord, that you would convict them, Lord, that you would illuminate their heart, Lord, that you would draw them to yourself, and Father, that you would save them, Lord, before it's eternally too late. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help the Christian tonight. Lord, help us to love you more, serve you better, walk in greater fellowship with you, Lord, and we'll thank you for all that you do, for we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. We're familiar with the story. We're familiar with the text. That's why we didn't labor any reading tonight. But Jesus, of course, is talking here to the Pharisees, and he's talking to everybody who is gathered around him here that day. And of course, we know that Jesus gives this parable. He talks about a lost sheep. He talks about a lost piece of silver, and then ultimately he comes and he spends the greater portion of this text talking about a lost son tonight. Amen. And when we think about this chapter and think about this text, there's many great messages that have been preached down through the years. So much truth has been mined out of this chapter. But when we think about this chapter tonight, we know and we understand that this is a story that pertains to the family. The Bible says in verse number 11, a certain man had two sons. Jesus paints the picture in their mind's eye of this man with these two boys. And so it's a story concerning family tonight. But then I want you to think about this. This is not only a story about family, but this is a story about a father tonight. Amen. The word father is mentioned over and over and over in the text. And this is maybe just some food for thought tonight. Really, when we consider this text and we think about it, really it's not about sons at all. It's not about a fatted calf. It's not about the house or anything like that. This is a story about a father, amen, and everything that is at his disposal, everything that he possesses, and everything that he exhausts and uses, every resource within his grasp to wait upon this son, who, and he longs for the day that this boy would come home. And then we see all of the splendor and all of the celebration as the father's heart, as his wish is granted, as his longing is satisfied, as that boy finally does come home. And so It's a story concerning family, and then it's a story concerning the Father. But then when we think about this tonight, this is a story concerning faith. We think about these two sons that this father has. And I think about at the end of the story, we find these two men and we can examine and we can look where their faith had been placed tonight. Amen. And if I can, for just a few moments tonight, I want to spotlight these two individuals, spotlight these two sons, and preach about them for just a few moments tonight. And I'm just for the sake of title tonight, I want to preach on this subject, a story of two sons. Amen. A story of two sons. Now, I'm going to tell you a bunch of familiar stuff tonight, and so you bear with me and try to help us out. And if you'll back us up and say amen, it might go a little bit better. Amen. And so number one, we consider the son that we always talk about, the one that is usually highlighted in the story, and that is, of course, the younger son. You'll notice in verse number 12, and the younger of them, the younger of the two sons, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Here this young man, he has an inheritance that he in fact is entitled to. He comes to the father and he asks for what is his. And so we see his desire tonight in verse number 12. He said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the Bible says, and he divided unto them his living. Here this boy is, and we've all heard it. He's dissatisfied with the authority of the father. He's dissatisfied with the demands. He's dissatisfied with living under his daddy's thumb. And so there is a longing that begins to take place in his heart. Amen. And can I say that sin always begins as a desire tonight? Amen. Nobody wakes up and just goes out and ruins their life. Nobody wakes up in the morning and decides to compromise everything and throw everything away. Listen, sin and our downfall and compromise always begins as a desire. The lust for the far country was in this boy's heart long before the dust of the far country was ever on his feet tonight. Amen. And we ask ourselves, why do people do what they do? Why do people go out? Why do they depart? And the simple answer is tonight is people do what they want to do. Amen. What is in the heart is going to come out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The reason someone speaks in a perverse way is because they have a perverse heart. The reason someone goes out and does something, they do it. Ultimately, yes, they were drawn, they were tempted, but their heart said yes to that temptation. And so we see his desire in them. We see his decision. Of course, desires, when they put shoe leather on and they begin to move, they become decisions tonight. Amen. We better be careful concerning the desires in our heart, because before we know it, opportunity and temptation can meet together, and that desire that we've harbored in our heart and we think that no one sees tonight, if we're given the right opportunity, that desire can become a decision. And you'll wind up in a place that you never expected and never thought yourself to be in tonight. Amen. We see his desire. We see his decision. Why do people do what they do? Because ultimately it's because of their depravity tonight. Desires and decisions in the wrong manner result from man's depravity. Jesus hangs the framework of this picture and this story that he is telling tonight, and he showcases three things in this story that are lost tonight. Amen. Have no problem with somebody preaching this as an individual who's backslid. Have no problem with somebody preaching this as somebody who got away from the fold and got out of church. But you need to understand tonight, but by way of interpretation, through the context of the scripture, we are dealing with someone who is lost tonight. Amen. We see his desire, his decision, his depravity. But then I thank God tonight that that is not where the story ends. I'm glad that the story ends with delight. Amen. And listen, you may find yourself in a bad place tonight. You may find yourself alienated from God. You may find yourself as an enemy of the cross tonight. But I'm glad that the story doesn't have to end there. I'm glad that this boy found a place of repentance. I'm glad the greatest thing that ever happened to him tonight is when he was there in the hog lot, surrounded by the pigs in a far country away from the daddy's house. Thank God he came to himself. Can I tell you, I remember the morning as a 14-year-old boy, I was lost in my sins, and I heard a preacher preach, and the sweet Holy Ghost, he began to draw me to himself. And thank God in that moment, by grace, through faith, I came to myself. That boy said, there's no place like home. Boy, the money was fun while it lasted. The friends were good while they were there. But nobody's ever treated me like Daddy did. Thank God at Daddy's house, I've got a place at the table. At Daddy's house, I've got a place of substance. Amen. And thank God tonight, listen, sinner friend, I'm telling you that there is room at the cross for you. There's a table that's spread. There's a sacrifice that's been made. There's provision that is made ready tonight. And there is no place like the Father's house. But ultimately, when we think of this young man, we look at him and we come to the conclusion that this younger son broke his father's heart. He came and he desired the portion of goods that fell to him. He wanted his inheritance early. And in order for this young man to do this, understand that he was reckoning, or he was accounting his father as dead. You don't get an inheritance unless a death takes place. You don't get an inheritance unless the testator of the covenant or the will dies and passes away. And so in order for this younger son to come and request his inheritance from his father, he said, you're dead to me. And he broke the father's heart tonight because of sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned to our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. The younger son broke his father's heart because of sin. Let's consider this other son. We like to beat up on him a lot, but let's consider him and think about him for just a few moments. We've looked at the younger son, but then I consider the older son. Here the elder son is. The younger son comes home and the sacrifice has been made. The fatted calf has been killed. There is a party taking place at the house. Notice in verse number 24. The father proclaims, for this my son was dead. This is the younger son. And is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We ought to rejoice when somebody comes home. We ought to rejoice when sinners get saved. Now let's take a look at the elder son and his disposition. Verse number 25, the Bible says, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And answering, he said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, did everything that I'm supposed to do. I never backtalked. I never questioned your orders. I always did what you asked me to do. If you left a list, I did it and I completed it. Every I dotted, every T crossed. I've done everything that I was supposed to do. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, he doesn't even call him his brother. He said, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He instructs him that they should make merry, that they should be glad that the younger son has come home tonight. But we considered the younger son, and the younger son broke his father's heart because of sin. But can I venture to say this tonight, that the older son broke his father's heart because of self-righteousness? The elder son was out of touch with some things in this text. He was out of touch with the father's love. No doubt he saw the anxiety and the desire in the father's heart. And oftentimes when we preach about it, we don't know if he did this, but we know that he had to be looking out. He had to be longing for the day that the younger son would come back. And listen, that is the love of the father tonight. Amen. It is the will of God that those who are estranged from God would come, and that they would be reconciled. Thank God that Christ Jesus came into the world, the Apostle Paul said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That is what this thing is about tonight. There are people who are living in sin, and they are alienated from God, and they ought to be worshiping Him and giving Him glory, and they are not. And that is the desire of the Father's heart, that He could touch their life, that He could draw honor and glory out of their life. But the elder son was out of touch with the father's love. The elder son was out of touch with his brother's repentance. Here this younger son comes, he gets right with God, he gets right with the father, he gets right with everybody. He's rehearsing this thing as he comes home. But this elder son would have none of it. So the elder son was out of touch with the father's love. The elder son was out of touch with the brother's repentance. But can I say this, that the elder son was out of touch with the joy of both. He was neither in harmony with his father or his brother. Understand this tonight. People will criticize this text and they'll say, well, how can you preach salvation in this text when there is no sacrifice? There is a sacrifice, and there was a sacrifice that took place, and it was in the death of that fatted calf. That fatted calf had been separated for a purpose, and it had been fed, and it had been prepared. And in order for that son to come home, there had to be a sacrifice that took place, and there would be blood applied so that that boy could walk back through the threshold of that house and be welcomed into the family again. But here this elder son is, and he's on the outside, and he's pouting, and he would not go in tonight. He's out of touch with the father, and he's out of touch with his brother. Understand this tonight, that this elder son, he never left home. But he was in a far country all of his own tonight. No relationship with his father. No relationship with his brother. We look at the younger son and we see ourselves. We see how we have walked away before. We see how we have sinned. We see how we have broke the father's heart. And really, when we think about that and we put ourselves in that place, listen, I'm glad that he came home. But when I think about myself in that light, all it does is bring me grief. The fact that I've broken God's heart tonight. But sad to say, not only have I found myself in the position of the younger son, I found myself in the position of the elder son. When I should have rejoiced for someone else, when I should have joined in with their labor, when I should have had joy in my heart. Sad to say that there had been jealousy, there had been pride present, there had even been self-righteousness present. And so I look at this younger son and I can relate with him, and all it does is bring me grief. But sad to say, I look at the elder son and I can identify with him, and it does the same thing tonight. So we've looked at the younger son and we've looked at the elder son, but I want you to understand tonight that there is a third son in this story. The third son of Luke chapter number 15, you say, who is it tonight? It's the one who's telling the story tonight. Amen. He's both the Son of Man and He is the Son of God tonight. Amen. And as we look at these sons and we find fault in each one of them, can I tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God's Son on the human level. He is the ideal Son. He is everything that God intends man to be and so much more. Everything that was lost in Adam, everything where we've fallen short, thank God it's been made up and it's been completed and it's been fulfilled and it's been restored in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad tonight, listen, Christ never broke His Father's heart because of sin. He was always in step with His Father. It was His meat to do the will of Him that sent Him. Oh, but I'm glad tonight that He was so in touch with the Father's heart that even though He could have stayed home, He never had to leave the house. He did all things that His Father wanted Him to do. He was willing to go to our far country and bear our sin and bear our shame tonight and die and suffer for you and I tonight. Now, I can identify with those sons, and when I do, I see my sin and I see my insufficiency. But I find my heart at rest tonight when I identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I was the younger son tonight. I've been the elder son tonight, amen. But because of grace, I'm thrown in with the third son tonight. I'm there with the one telling the story, and I can understand what he's talking about, and I can identify with him tonight because he was willing to come to identify with me tonight, amen. When we consider the third son, we'll be done tonight. We think about the third son suffering. He took the sins of both boys upon himself. You may be here tonight and you're lost. You're in the world tonight. I understand most of us are church people, as we would call it. But maybe you're here tonight and you're playing games and you're in the world. Understand that Jesus Christ has taken your sins upon himself tonight. And maybe you're here tonight and you've been raised up in the house of God. And listen, all you've got's religion and you've never been saved. But you're real proud of who you are and you're proud of your raising. And you think that some way, somehow, that God is going to honor your morality. And when you get to the gates of heaven, that God is going to recognize you and he's going to let you in. But friend, that couldn't be farther from the truth. Listen, understand that it took a sacrifice to save you, and thank God it was completed at bloody Calvary. Christ died and was buried and rose again, and he became as you, and he died for you, and he died as you, and he became the curse of sin and came to this lowly far country to bear and to pay your sin debt tonight. Amen. So that you could identify with him. We see the third son suffering. We see the third son seeking. The Bible says in verse number 10, likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If he's rejoicing over it, it must mean that he was looking for it to happen. Amen. He was glad that it happened because he was looking for it and he was expecting it tonight. And listen, maybe you find yourself in the case of this younger son, but maybe tonight you're the elder son and you feel like there's no hope for you tonight. I'm glad there are no hopeless cases when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. We see the third son suffering. We see the third son seeking. But then, thank God, we see the third son singing with the Father when prodigals come home. You ever thought about this verse tonight? We just read it, verse number 10. The Bible says, likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. A lot of times we'll gloss over that and we'll say, oh, when a sinner repents, the angels sing. No, friend, the angels aren't singing. The angels don't understand anything about salvation. They've never been fallen beings. They don't know what it is to be depraved and have to be redeemed. They don't understand that tonight. That's why in the book of the Revelation, thank God, at the end of the age, we're going to be able to sing a song that the angels cannot sing. Amen. There is a song which only the redeemed can sing to the Lord tonight. But in this text, you say, who's singing? I believe with all of my heart tonight, it's the Father. The Father is singing, the Son is singing, the Spirit of God is singing and rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth tonight. Amen. Thank God, Jesus didn't come. He didn't come tonight for them that are whole. He came tonight for those who are sin sick. If you know tonight you're in need of a Savior, look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ. Look no further than Him tonight. I'm glad, listen, tonight we look and we can identify with that younger son, and that has its benefits. We can identify with the elder son, and we ought to be warned in that. When we find ourselves akin to him and we find ourselves behaving like that, we better be careful tonight. But I'm glad for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He is the sacrifice that is able to take both of those sons and join them and reconcile them with one another.